Welcome to Glass Breakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our goal is to inspire you and empower you to live an unlimited and smart future by breaking free from limiting beliefs, firefighting, and the invisible walls of our society. I'm your host, Cindy Mangeni, Future of Work expert, diversity accelerator, executive coach, and international speaker. Welcome to Glass Breakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom, insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our special guest today is AJ Young, the CEO and founder of ByteCheck, a cybersecurity startup. Welcome, AJ, and thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited.
Me too. AJ, you are one of the few Black founders in the tech space. So please share with us what is the mission of ByteCheck and an overview of the journeys that led you into cybersecurity.
Yeah, so ByteCheck is a cybersecurity compliance automation company. And what we do is we help companies as they're growing, they start to get asked about security. Other companies that they're doing business with want to know that if they're going to use their app, that they're not going to get breached, that their customers' data is not going to get stolen, that there's not going to be something bad that happens that has them all in the news and all that bad stuff going on. And they want a third party to come in and validate that. We're that third party. We built a solution to essentially streamline audits. When I say compliance, think audits. That's what we do at ByteCheck. And my journey into cybersecurity really started, not anything like magical. I joined the U.S. Army when I was in college, and I served as an Army officer for 6 years as a communications and cyber officer there in the Army. And that's when I really started to get exposed to the industry and just understand a lot about leadership, about the importance of protecting really, really sensitive data, especially there in the military. And then when I decided to get out, I realized I didn't like sleeping outside that much and like being in America a lot more than being outside of America. So I got out and I landed at a large cybersecurity compliance consulting firm. And when I joined, there was about 9 of us in this really small practice. And then we grew to well over 130 people in like less than 3 years. And so I just was able to really accelerate my career there. And while there, you know, I realized that compliance is a huge problem. People are paying tens of thousands of dollars, wasting hours of time going through these compliance assessments. And they were doing it really manually, you know, screenshots and document requests and uploading stuff. And so, and I was like, there has to be a better way to do this. And went out to build ByteCheck and try to start a company and see what I could do.
Awesome. And thanks a lot for your service in the military. But it sounds like the entrepreneur's story, like you saw a need and you start building. But we all know like it's not as easy. Like I saw a need and I start building a company. ByteCheck is new because you've started in the pandemic, right?
Correct. Yep.
So it's still like a new company, but I'm sure that from the moment you started to today, you face already like many rejection, objections, because this is part of the entrepreneurial life, but also you find people who are willing to bet on you, to invest into your company, to open doors for you. So how do you deal with objections and rejections to keep going on? Yeah. And also, what is your secret to build those relationships, to have access to people and rooms where few have access to be where you are today with ByteCheck?
Yeah, I think going into the entrepreneur journey, you have to say exactly what you just said, Cindy, that you know that there's going to be down objections, there's going to be issues, there's going to be roadblocks that you run into, and that's okay. That's a part of it. If it was super easy, then everyone would do this, right? When I think about the hard days and the challenges, you know, I tell people often that it's a feature, not a bug of entrepreneurship to go through and get a bunch of no's, to get a bunch of hard things. You know, if you're trying to build a $1 billion company, that is a hard thing to do. That is really difficult. So I just, you know, understand going into this that it's not going to be something that's supposed to be easy. And then the other thing, and one of our core values at Bite Check, is we don't take ourselves too seriously. And I don't take myself too seriously. I don't expect that. I just don't care that much about the whole CEO founder thing. Like it's my job title, but it's not something I'm placing my whole identity in. And I think that's important for any entrepreneur to know, is that you are more than your business. You are more than the success of your business, and you're way more than the failure of your business. The just being in the arena is the important part, and just going out there and trying. So I don't internalize the objections. I don't internalize the no's. I just keep going. You know, the hardest part of doing anything really difficult is continually showing up, just being consistent and deciding, all right, I know today's probably going to suck. I know there's probably going to be some really hard things going on, but I'm just going to show up and I'm going to see what happens. And that's what I do. And for me, the way that I've been able to build my network and get into these rooms is, it's cliche, but it's just being myself. I decided I wasn't going to play corporate games no more. I wasn't going to have this persona on LinkedIn or other networks where I've been able to build a strong brand and have it be something that's not me. And the more that I was myself, the more that I've just decided that I'm going to be public about the things I care about. I'm going to speak up about things. I'm going to, you know, highlight the way that I think companies should be run. The more people reached out to me, the more my network grew, because they saw that authenticity. And then also, you know, I think a superpower of any entrepreneur is shamelessness. Like you got to be willing to like go and DM people and reach out to people and like get told no often. Like you got to be that person that's doing door-to-door sales, essentially. Just keep knocking until somebody says, yeah, I want to talk to you. If anybody watched Pursuit of Happiness, you got to be like Will Smith in that movie and just like carrying and lugging that thing down the street and just figuring it out. And I think for me, I've been able to build my network because I haven't been scared to ask for help. I haven't been scared to ask people, hey, can I just meet you? Can I just talk to you? Can I get some of your time? And you know, sometimes those conversations turn into really impactful relationships. So I think, you know, you have to be authentic, be yourself, because it's really hard to kind of fake it, fake who you are as an entrepreneur, because you're going to have bad days and the real you will come out. So be yourself, and then, you know, have some, don't have so much ego that you think people are coming to you. Like you got to go out there and put the work in and go to them.
And I love the part about like the obstacle and rejection, because I think this is one of the biggest hurdles when you are an entrepreneur. And I love your strategy of you don't make it personal, right? It's just, it's part. And I love like, it's a feature and not a bug. And I think like having like this expectation that this is going to happen definitely help a lot. And authenticity, because I've seen you on stage and really like you are like really this cool guy in tech. And this is awesome. And this is inspiring. And you are mentioning like you are not taking yourself seriously, which is awesome, because like for me, like cybersecurity and compliance, this is like really serious stuff and also like kind of boring for me. And at this moment, you have like a lot going on, because as an entrepreneur and founder, new company, you are like raising money, you are building the team, you are building the product, and also expanding like the client base. And among all those things, I think like when we look at all those companies who became like billion-dollar company, this is all about the culture. Like everything matters, like the funding, the team, the product, the client. But really like culture eats strategy for breakfast. So in the midst of everything that you need to do, how are you building Bite Check culture to reflect your grit? Because we can tell like, you have a lot of grit, your values, your mission, because we can also see like the passion that you have. So Bite Check can become like this powerhouse and also this billion-dollar company in the cybersecurity field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my military background that has done it for me, that I knew I had to focus on culture from the beginning, because you can't do anything that requires multiple people without a shared mission, without a shared way of operating, without a shared way of just executing on things. So I've over-indexed on culture from a very early stages and made sure that it was top of mind from our first hires to the most recent folks. And the way, you know, we have four core values at BiteCheck. We really, it's not like kind of the traditional, a lot of companies have core values, but sometimes they don't actually reflect what's going on. And we actually really believe in those core values. And like, it's an important part of our onboarding process. Like, we make sure that people truly understand like what we stand for. And I think that's been a big part of it, right? It's just that having that framework for who we are as a company, that framework for what we stand for, that framework for the way that we operate and move, and our four core values. Then the first one is the most important, and is the one that I have built the company on, is people first. It's just making sure that every decision we make is not about the business, it's not about revenue, it's not about the product, it's about the people. It's about, is this a good decision for this human? And it's not just our people, it's our customers, it's our investors, it's for everybody involved. People first is something that I really live by and learned in the military, that doesn't really matter the skills of the team. It matters how the team feels. It matters about if they believe in what they're doing and they're willing to execute, because you can have the most talented person in the world, but if they're not willing to put the work in and execute on those skills, it really doesn't matter. So people first is really important. Our next core value is be courageous. And that's where that grit comes out, where I tell the team, like, it's okay to make mistakes. I actually want you to make mistakes. I want you to go so fast and so hard, and like, you're running. So, and I want you to fail, because that's the way we learn. Failure at this stage is a part of it. Like, we're going to have lots of losses. We're not going to win certain deals. The product's going to break. All kinds of bad things happen every single day. So you have to get used to that. And you have to be courageous to say, all right, like, I know this might not work, but I know I won't learn what to do unless I fail. So that's a big one. And then the next one I already talked about, don't take yourself too seriously. And those kind of go hand in hand, right? Where you're okay to be courageous, to go out and fail, because you're not taking yourself too seriously. Mm-hmm. Because you're not saying that this failure is going to end my career, and really creating that culture where people feel free to execute and have that independence and move. And then our last one is pursuing excellence together. We're in the cybersecurity space. So like, we do have to do things at a very high level and a high quality, but we do it together. We help each other. It doesn't matter if you're in sales, if you're in marketing, everyone jumps in and helps out. It's really a team sport for what we're doing here at BiteCheck. And that's the way we've kind of built the culture. Other things that we do, that I think a lot of companies that are in this new remote work environment, they focus only on remote work. They don't focus on remote collaboration. They don't focus on building the culture where you can have these conversations that are outside of work. And most remote environments, the only time you talk to your coworker is hopping on a Zoom for a client or for a work meeting. You're not just meeting them and saying, hey, how was your weekend? How are things going? Did you see the game yesterday? And having all of these avenues and opportunities for people to talk about other things. So we do a lot here at BiteCheck to encourage those like cooler talk type of conversations, encourage conversations around topics that you probably would only come up in person, but we're creating ways to do it in the remote world. And we really focus on that collaboration. And then one of the really, really cool things we do here at BiteCheck from a culture perspective is we have 4-day work weeks. We don't work on Fridays. I believe that a focused 32 hours is better than an unfocused 40 hours. There's a study recently that came out that said people only work about 2 hours and 45 minutes in an 8-hour day. The rest of the time, they're just, you know, messaging, talking, doing all this other stuff. They're not actually working 8 hours. And I think if everybody kind of thinks about it and looks honestly at most of their days, it's probably pretty accurate. You're probably not actually working for 8 hours straight. You probably have some distractions in there that you're doing. And we preach this culture of deep work and focus here. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that you can get a lot done by just focusing and locking in for a shorter period of time than having all these little bouts of sprints throughout the week, where we can really go hard for 32 hours and get a lot done. And it's proven to be really beneficial, both for the business from a productivity and growth perspective, but also for our people. Our people are are happy. They show up every Monday ready to get to work because they have space and time for themselves. They have the extra day to just do some things, to sleep in, to work out, to go handle their appointments. And that's something that goes back to our people first core value. If you're going to be people first, you got to give people time to be people. Like you can't say you're people first and then it's only about work. And at Bite Check, we make sure that our team has that time. They have that space, that independence to go out and do things. And it's a really cool thing because I think it's innovative right now, but I think more and more companies are seeing that, yeah, we should give people more time back. It doesn't make sense. The 9-to-5 40-hour work week was created when we were working in factories, when it was that type of work, not for knowledge work, where there's people that can, developers that can do 40 hours of work in 4 hours. If you can do that, then you shouldn't work 40 hours. Like you're good with your work that you're doing. And we really just focus on outputs. What are you producing? Not how many hours did you put in, but like, what is the actual result of what you're doing? That's all that matters. Everything else is noise. So yeah, that's a little bit about how we've been building culture. I know I went long there, but it is something that I have put a lot of time, energy, and kind of attention to make sure that we're building the culture that's going to allow us to really grow to a really big company.
No, and I love like the mention that you did remote work and remote collaboration, because it's like really two different elements that we need to include. And how you are walking the talk with the people first and the 4-day week. So this is like really, really awesome, and congrats for the results. And when we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you are one of the few Black founders in the cybersecurity field. And this is a growing field. At this moment, there are like more job openings than people qualified for those jobs. Those are well-paying jobs. And the reason why we are here today is because I've heard you speak and I was like really like super impacted by everything you've been sharing this day, but also by your passion to close this gap and also to bring more minorities into the field. So what are you doing to close this gap? And what is your advice for minorities who would like to break into cybersecurity?
Yeah, for me, there's a few ways that I see that I can directly impact getting more people like us that look like us into this field. And the first is I have to continue to be public. I have to continue to be a representation for people to see like, oh, I can be a cybersecurity founder. I can go out and do these things that I've dreamed about, but I never saw anyone that looked like me doing. I think representation is really, really important. And anybody that is in a leadership position that is a minority owes it to the people that are coming up to be public and to speak and to just go out there and show them that, hey, it's possible to do this. The other aspect is making sure that I'm hiring a diverse team, that we have a significant amount of folks on our team that are Black, Brown, from underrepresented backgrounds. And we've done that. You know, most of I don't know the exact stat, but I think well over 50% of our team are Black or minorities, and half of our leadership team are women, a significant amount of our team are Black women. So it's something that has been core to what we're doing. We'll continue as we grow the company. We'll make sure that we have diversity metrics that we kind of assess ourselves on to make sure that we're not building companies that look like every other company out there. That is a company that is truly diverse. And one of the rules we have is that we cannot close a interview process until we have interviewed a minority candidate. You have to interview at least one minority candidate before you can close in the interview process. And we'll continue to do that, where the challenge with folks breaking into this industry is oftentimes we don't get a chance. We don't get the interview. Yes. We don't get the opportunity just to even present ourselves because we're not breaking through those gates. So we'll make sure that our pipelines include people that are from underrepresented groups. And then, you know, I think mentoring is a big thing for me as well. I can't hire everyone in the world that is a Black person or a Brown person as much as I would want to. but I can give folks advice and spend time with people one-on-one to really help them grow their careers. And anytime I mentor someone or help someone out, they always say like, hey, how can I help? How can I pay you back? What can I do? And I'm like, well, now you got to go get someone else in the field. your job is to pay it forward and go pull someone else up. And that's my challenge to all of the folks that I mentor and reach out to and help is, it's you got to do the next step. Got to take it. And I think that's the way that we do this is like, we just continue to create more and more of us in this field that can reach back and pick folks up. And for people trying to break in, I think I would focus on learning the cloud, pick a cloud provider, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, doesn't matter, and learn as much about the cloud as you can, because every company is a cloud company nowadays. So you can't protect something that you don't know what it is. So go learn what the cloud is. That's really important. And another kind of cliche statement here, but network. If you think you want to be a cybersecurity penetration tester who breaks into people's applications legally and gets paid to do that, then go and find someone that's doing that and talk to them and figure out what did they do? How did they break into this field? If you want to be a compliance professional, go find a compliance professional to talk to, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And it's much better to go hear it from the source than read all of the hundreds of blogs you're going to find when you go online or take all the boot camps. Like, I'm not saying not to do those things, but you will save yourself. Every time I've talked to someone that is a little bit further ahead than the position that I'm in, I realized how much time I would have wasted if I didn't ask that person those questions. So don't waste that much time by trying to figure all this stuff out on your own. I used to have a boss in the Army that told me, don't suffer in silence. And I think a lot of minorities that are trying to break into an industry suffer in silence. They try to do so much on their own. When there's people out there that they can talk to, that they can ask questions to, that they can spend time with, that will help them navigate some of those pitfalls or roadblocks that we all have run into that we don't want the next person to do. That if you're a early stage, if you're thinking about starting a company and it's in, you know, a SaaS company, you're thinking about raising some money, chances are I know some things at this point in my career that I can help you avoid some of the mistakes I made. And maybe you get 40 no's instead of 60 no's. You're still gonna have to get some no's, but you're at least they're not as many. And I think that's a big thing for anyone trying to do anything like hard, like breaking into cybersecurity, is you gotta find folks that have been there, done that, so that you can skip the nonsense. You can skip some of the bad steps and accelerate your path.
This is powerful, like don't suffer in silence, because I think like this is like really a reality, and that like a lot of people were telling you no, but also a lot of people like you are willing like to help and to open the doors. Yeah. At this moment, my check mission is definitely towards like cooperation. But one of the reasons why cybersecurity is growing is because this is a field that is important for the government, for organizations, big, large, small, but also for us as individuals. So when we look at the different trends, what will be one trend that you will say for everybody, we need to keep an eye on it so we are not left behind, because this podcast is all about future and leadership also and career. So what is a trend we need to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think, I think a trend for anybody, for any company, entrepreneur, is that cybersecurity is going to continue to be really, really important. And the SEC just released a new law or requirement that any company of a certain size has to have a cybersecurity representative on their board. And that's going to eventually trickle down to the lower levels, where you can't wait until you're 100 people strong to start hiring security professionals. You're going to have to start a lot earlier. You can't wait until your company has 10 customers to think about security. And as a human, as an individual, you can't think that you're not vulnerable no more. Every single person's vulnerable. So I know people as consumers, they hate all the steps that some of the security stuff makes you do, like multi-factor authentication and getting that little code before you can log on to your bank. I know it's annoying, but please do it. You got to do those things, because cybersecurity, it's getting easier and easier for hackers to do bad things. And it's getting harder and harder for us to protect. So I think the trend that I would mention here is just cybersecurity is not going anywhere. These are long-term problems that the more that the world gets interconnected, the more cybersecurity is going to be important. Mm. And if you're a business owner, you need to think about it on day one. If you're a human, just a regular person, you need to think about it on day one. You got to protect your information. Data is more important than money. Your information is way more important than any money. So I would just say, you know, it's something that's going to be really, really important and people should take it seriously.
No, thank you very much, AJ. And we're coming to an end of our time together. It was like went super fast and you share like really a lot of great nuggets. And for the last question, I would like to know if you could have a superpower, what superpower would you pick? And you have already a lot of superpowers for everything you've been building, but another superpower, that what will it be?
I think my superpower is that I enjoy solitude, that I am very comfortable being alone and being in silence. And that stems from my mindfulness practice that I am really dedicated and committed to meditating every day, going to therapy and just spending time with myself, and clearing my brain and doing nothing and finding these pockets throughout the day to disconnect and throughout the week, throughout the month to continually disconnect. And it's been a superpower for me because it's the way I stay sane on this crazy journey of being an entrepreneur, but it's also the way I get really creative is by having these breaks, having these constant breaks away from all of the things that are going on. And I think I wish more and more folks would figure out ways to spend time with themselves. It is a powerful thing when you get comfortable being alone and you get comfortable in silence and just with your thoughts and then really getting to the point where you have a completely clear mind. And you're just existing in the present. And so being able to be in solitude has allowed me to be really present despite all the other stuff that's going on, which is super exciting. And I enjoy it. And it's been critical for me, for my career, especially over these last 2 years of building BiteCheck, just being able to tap into that space, of the here and the now has been critical for me, you know, with all the anxiety of building a business and raising money, growing a company, all of that stuff. Like, you've got to find those pockets of solitude. So my superpower, I would say, is being able to be a silent person by myself and just sit there with my thoughts and be able to take those breaks, which are so important on this journey.
No, thanks for sharing your superpower, which is like your secret. And thanks a lot, AJ, for your time, for not sharing only your superpower, but also like all those great nuggets that are helping you to keep growing BiteCheck and to be an inspiration for everybody who knows you. And I know like each time your audience and influence is getting bigger, and so you are inspiring more people. So thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And for the audience, thanks a lot. I hope you took a lot of notes. And I'm waiting for you for the next encounter at Glass Breakers Cafe. If you enjoyed today's episode of Glass Breakers Cafe, please subscribe and share with your friends on social media. Also, be sure to follow me, your host, Cindy Mongenet, on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If there is any special guest or special topic you would like us to address, please drop me a note at cindy@newskiesnation.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And remember, no one can predict the future, but we still need to prepare for it. See you next week. If you enjoy